This episode of Amateur Traveler is sponsored by Travelsmith. There's no time like the present to take a trip, and nobody makes it easier for you to pack up your things and head out than Travelsmith. With apparel, luggage, gear, and tips for every traveler, Travelsmith helps you get there, look great, and feel good. Check out Travelsmith.com today. I got my bags packed on a roll. I'm heading out there, and I'm ready to go. Looking real good in my passport photo. Amateur Traveler, episode 481. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about Spanish missions, ocean beaches, wineries, and vineyards as we go to America's Riviera, Santa Barbara, California. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. We'll hear more from our sponsor, Travelsmith, but first, let's talk about Santa Barbara. I'd like to welcome to the show Heather Simon from WellPlannedTravel.net, who has come to talk to us about Santa Barbara. Heather, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. It's good to talk to you, Chris.
I say Santa Barbara, and we're talking about Santa Barbara, California. There may be some other Santa Barbara somewhere else. Why should someone go to Santa Barbara?
Well, Santa Barbara is, first of all, it's incredibly beautiful. It's called the American Riviera because of the weather and because it's a beach with mountains right next to it.
And it's called that mostly by Santa Barbara, as I recall.
Yes, yes. Yeah, there's an area of town called the Riviera, which is the mountains, and yep.
Excellent. You know, it is a very pretty area. I happen to like Santa Barbara. Have been there many times over the years, although not in detail, not in the detail I hope that we'll go through it here. So I don't actually know what I would recommend to someone if they had a few days to spend in Santa Barbara. And we're going to do Santa Barbara and the region here. The one thing we should get across, first of all, is for those people who know Santa Barbara from the TV show Psych, they actually don't kill somebody every week there.
And that's filmed in Los Angeles. There's no actual Santa Barbara
shots of that. That is very disappointing. I think yes. some of the establishing shots were Santa Barbara.
No. No, they weren't.
They weren't really? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, it's all Los Angeles. Same with that soap opera that was in the 80s.
Oh, Santa Barbara. Oh, gosh. I'd forgotten all about that. I think
all in Los Angeles.
It may, in fact, have been forgettable. So what should we see when we go to Santa Barbara?
Well, before we talk about that, I think that three things to kind of know about Santa Barbara that kind of help you understand is that it is incredibly historic. There's a huge Native American kind of history there with the mm-hmm. Chumash Indians. The second thing is that there was an earthquake in the 20s that basically leveled the town. And so that's why when you go to Santa Barbara, you kind of see that it all looks kind of like that Spanish colonial revival. It's because after that earthquake, they built all the buildings downtown exactly the same with red tile roofs and that type of stuff. And then the other thing is that it is a south-facing beach. So if you look on the California map and you see that there's a little section of California that kind of faces south, that's Santa Barbara. So that gets kind of confusing because you think you're going east and you're really going north. And the freeway is north and south in Santa Barbara, but it really is east and west.
Right.
It gets a little confusing if I say, oh, go north. You're really going west, but the freeway says north. So anyways.
And you mentioned the Native American culture. Is there a place that you can access that in Santa Barbara?
Well, there is a couple places. The Natural History Museum has quite a bit of exhibits about the Chumash Indians, the mission, which I'll talk about. And there's, of course, they have their casino and their reservation in San Andreas. So that's definitely an accessible place, the casino.
Excellent. And I interrupted. Right. You were about to head off into Santa Barbara.
Yes, yes. So kind of the biggest site or whatever in Santa Barbara is the Santa Barbara Mission. Mm-hmm. And that's more than just Santa Barbara people, but it's called the Queen of the Missions because it's a larger, it's the most well-preserved, and it has two bell towers, whereas the rest of them only have one. And it is still a working church. Outside of the mission, there's a large lawn and a rose garden, which is just absolutely beautiful, the rose garden right in front of the mission. And then I would go into the mission. There is a couple dollar charge, but it's definitely worth the money. There's a great museum in there. And then there's some gardens inside of the mission. And, of course, going into the mission is very beautiful. It's like something maybe you'd find in Europe. And then right outside the mission, which you still need to pay for, is a cemetery. And the cemetery is pretty interesting because it's basically all the founders of Santa Barbara were buried there.
Now, the mission, is it a state park?
No, it's part of the Catholic Church.
It is still, okay.
Yes, it's yeah, as I said, there's, I think that's the Franciscans. Which okay. Makes sense, yeah.
Got it.
Which, they're still there. You can kind of see them in their robes and that type of stuff, and there's a cloister and all that stuff.
Well, we should back up a bit because not everybody grew up in the California school system
sure.
as you and I did and had to do a model of a mission in fifth grade, which we did, both of us, I assume. But the missions, there's a string of California missions, for those people who don't know, that the Spanish built all the way from, well, into Baja California, each a day's drive away from, ride away on horseback, with the northernmost mission being Mission Dolores in San Francisco. And Mission Dolores was founded in 1776, it's always easy to remember, and so all of the other ones south of there get increasingly older as you go south, the oldest ones being, the oldest one in California being in San Diego.
Right.
And so, yeah, this is all built by the Spanish as they went to colonize California, and obviously they also went to proselytize the Native Americans, to convert the Native Americans there. They sent in both soldiers, and then they also sent in monks and priests and built these missions. And they became the center, in almost all cases, of a town, although there are some that were built more remotely and are not the center of town. But in Santa Barbara's case, I think that really did become the center of the original Santa Barbara community.
Right, right.
Excellent. Anything else we want to see at the mission while we're there?
No, I think that's about it. You have to be aware that if there's a church service going on or on Saturday, if there's a wedding going on, there's quite a bit of weddings, that you won't be able to go into the actual church part because it's a working church.
Excellent. And as long as I'm talking missions, we should say that the Father Junipero Serra, who's behind the California missions, is recently been canonized, or is being in the process of being canonized. I'm not quite sure what the status is, which is quite controversial because certainly some people don't like some of the way that the Native Americans were treated in and around some of the missions. So,
yeah, and if you go through the museum in Santa Barbara, you'll really realize why a lot of people aren't happy about that.
Right.
Yeah. Right next to the mission is the Natural History Museum.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a favorite museum of mine as a child. I haven't been there as an adult, but it's a great museum if you have kids to go into it. It's right, almost right next to the mission.
And you say as a child, we didn't quite say, but we've kind of hinted at you grew up in Santa Barbara.
Right. I grew up, I moved away for college and haven't come back and live in Minneapolis. But my parents still live in Santa Barbara, and for some odd reason, people in Minneapolis want to come with me to Santa Barbara in the winter. So I've shown a lot of people
can
the town.
That.
Yeah. So the next big site in Santa Barbara is the courthouse. It's in that Spanish colonial revival style of kind of the white and the red tile roofs.
Mm-hmm.
It was built after the earthquake. And it's really beautiful inside, but the big thing to do there is to go up to the top of the clock tower. And that's free, and there's an elevator, so you don't have to climb steps. And it just offers a beautiful view of downtown Santa Barbara, the mountains, and the ocean.
And you say the mountains, and I'm not sure that everybody pictured, there's hardly a lot of room for a city where it is between the mountains and the beach here. It really is. The city can't really grow a lot from where it is because it's right up against the mountains.
Right, right. Yeah, and they're not small mountains. I think they're 4,000 feet is how tall, like the La Cumbre Peak, which is the tallest mountain. So 4,000 feet. And then right next to the courthouse is the Santa Barbara Art Museum, and it is a nice art museum. They got some of the biggies, a Monet and a Van Gogh, but a really nice collection of classic sculptures, Roman and Greek sculptures.
Hmm.
So that's right on State Street, which is kind of the main street in Santa Barbara. And that's the street where all the shopping is and that type of thing. And then if you head down State Street, you get to the beach. And the downtown beach, there's a wharf, and it's called Stern's Wharf.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually drive out there, and if you eat lunch out there, it's free parking. There's some really just touristy shops out there, and there's a marine museum out there, and there is a couple restaurants. Most of them are pretty bad. I mean, they're geared towards the person who comes one time, and it's for the view. And one time and never
and comes back. And people wonder sometimes why we don't have members of the tourism board on that often. But we want you to know the information. So where would you recommend we go instead if we're going down and visiting the beach?
Yeah, there is one good restaurant at the very end of the pier.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called the Santa Barbara Shellfish Company.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a place you can get crabs and all the different types of shellfish. And it's quite good. You kind of sit outside, out on the picnic tables and that type of stuff. So if you're going to eat on the pier, that would be the place to eat.
Okay. Let's take a break here and hear from our sponsor, who is TravelSmith. Planning a vacation, family reunion, business trip, or weekend getaway? There's no time like the present to take a trip, and nobody makes it easier for you to pack up your things and head out than TravelSmith. With apparel, luggage, gear, and tips for every traveler, TravelSmith helps you get there, look great, and feel good. Their vast collection is full of lightweight, easy-to-pack items that are loaded with features to make your travel easier, safer, and more comfortable. TravelSmith also has the industry's largest selection of RFID-blocking luggage, gear, and apparel to keep tech-savvy thieves from ruining your travels. For vacations, quick getaways, business trips, and more, shop TravelSmith.com today. Take the stress out of your travels and go there with TravelSmith. www.TravelSmith.com.
Next to the pier, there's East Beach, which is the big touristy beach. There's big sand, a lot of sand volleyball courts. Mm-hmm. And then on Sundays, there's a really good art fair that's every Sunday. There's a big bike path that goes along the entire beach. And then they have about 200 artists every Sunday who are out there selling their works.
Okay. And you say beach volleyball. I really associate beach volleyball with Santa Barbara, maybe Malibu. I mean, this is where this sport kind of got its start, is down here in Southern California.
Right, right. Many of the Olympic volleyball players, especially the men, are originally from Santa Barbara.
Hmm.
So that's the east of the pier, and then the west of the pier is the Santa Barbara Harbor.
Okay.
And it's also called the Breakwater, and that's where everybody has their sailboats and that type of stuff. And it's mm-hmm. quite large, and you can walk all the way along the breakwater and kind of get out on the other side of the harbor. There's a little sandy beach, and it's just pretty amazing views of the sailboats and the ocean and the mountains and that type of thing.
Okay.
Then the other big site in Santa Barbara, it would definitely be the Santa Barbara Zoo. And it's actually a really nice zoo for the size of the town. They've got the gorillas and the elephants and that type of stuff, but they got also the California condor, which was a
endangered species.
And then kind of the highlight for me is the giraffes. And the reason why it's a pretty big area where the giraffes are, but the mm-hmm. reason why it's pretty great is that those giraffes literally have the best view in all of Santa Barbara. It's right along the ocean. So you see giraffes, and then right beyond the giraffes is the ocean.
Hmm.
So it's pretty a neat place to see the giraffes and take a picture of giraffes and the Pacific Ocean. Yeah, so that's kind of the big sites. If you're wanting to go for nightlife, there's an area between Highway 101 and the ocean in downtown Santa Barbara, and it's called the Funk Zone. It's a newer area, and okay. there's lots of art galleries, restaurants, and then a lot of wineries from San Ynez have come down and opened up tasting rooms down there. So
okay.
you don't actually have to go up into the mountains to do tasting, because you can go do that down there.
Well, and we're going to get up into the mountains here a bit. For those people who saw the movie Sideways, we're heading up
right.
to that kind of countryside here. But before we get there, I usually ask, what's the best time of year to go to a particular place? Is there a bad time of year to go to Santa Barbara?
I would say that the worst time to go to Santa Barbara would be June.
Okay.
Santa Barbara gets, they call it the June gloom.
So the fog. Oh,
the fog.
And we say fog, not a low fog, but a high overcast.
And it can get low, but but it's not really a, if you're going and you want to go out to the beach, it's kind of cold.
Mm-hmm.
Any of the other times, except for when there's the occasional storm that never seems to hit Santa Barbara, it's pretty good weather. Yeah.
Well, and what a lot of people who aren't from the area wouldn't know is that in the summertime, of course, the coasts were going to be cooler. So inland California gets quite warm. You go over one range of mountains and you can easily go up 10, 20 degrees in the summertime. We have places where you can drive half an hour and see 50 degrees temperature range up here in Northern California, not quite as bad in Southern California. In the wintertime, it's the opposite. The coast is often warmer than inland, especially farther inland, more like the Central Valley. So,
right.
Excellent. So, looking a little further afield, where else should we go while we're in Santa Barbara?
Well, a couple other places just before going up into the mountains is that Montecito is right next to Santa Barbara, and that is kind of where the celebrities and the extremely wealthy live. And it's really interesting just kind of take a drive in there and see these mansions and the fancy Biltmore Hotel, which you can kind of walk around, and that's kind of where the stars stay and that type of stuff. And then a little farther south from Montecito is Carpinteria.
Mm-hmm.
It's a small town that's a little bit more, I use the word livable, but it's more not as touristy. But there is a really nice downtown area, which is kind of feels like you're in a little beach town. But what's kind of the highlight of Carpinteria is called the Carpinteria Bluffs. And you park and walk down these bluffs, and it's a large sea lion nesting area. So you can see just hundreds and hundreds of sea lions. But yeah, then you would want to drive up the mountain. There's two ways to kind of get into Santa Ynez. There's the easy way, and that's to take Highway 101, which will take you along the ocean and kind of around the mountains, or just to drive up the mountains, and that's Highway 154, and they call it the pass, and I like to take the pass. It's a good road, but about halfway up the mountain, there's a place, it's called Cold Spring Tavern. If you're there on a weekend, they have the famous tri-tip sandwiches, which is famous in that area, the tri-tip sandwiches. And that's a former stagecoach stop, too, so it's very popular.
Well, you say tri-tip. A lot of people know the different barbecue styles in the U.S., and they can spot your North Carolina barbecue or your South Carolina mustard barbecue or your Texas barbecue or your rubs up in Kansas City. This is yet another style, and this is a mesquite grilled tri-tip, which is a very much comes from this area of California, from the San Ynez Valley.
Yeah, I've tried to find it in other places, and I have yet to find it.
So, we have it up here all the time now. It's definitely places that are doing tri-tip on Tuesdays or doing tri-tip sandwiches or whatever. So it's very common up here in the Bay Area now also, and I'm seeing it spread, but mostly in California.
Right. Has not made its way to the Midwest.
Well, and I had a fortunate experience one time. We had relatives in Solvang, which we may mention, and they invited me to a rancher's barbecue. And that, I think, was the first time I had tri-tip, was from the people who actually invented it.
Oh, wow.
The ranchers in the San Ynez Valley.
So, so we can start talking about San Ynez Valley. And so that is the area in the mountains above Santa Barbara, and kind of what you talked about before, it does get quite hot in the winter. It might be 70 degrees in Santa Barbara, but 90 degrees just a half hour away up in San Ynez.
In the summer.
Right. So I like to go when I'm in San Ynez to Los Olivos, and that's actually where a lot of that movie, The Sideways, was filmed.
The Olives in Spanish.
Right, right. So there is quite a few tasting rooms, which they use in the movies, and a couple art galleries, and some really good restaurants.
Did you want to give us some recommendations there before we pass on out of town? It's not a big town here. We're not going to be that long.
Right. There's really only two or three. One of them is a sandwich place. I don't remember the name.
Okay.
but it's really good sandwiches. And then there's a little nicer one that has a lot of, that's more of a wine restaurant, but has a little fancier food. And they actually did film a scene of Sideways in that restaurant as well.
Okay, so we're just going to have to recommend you go to Yelp and look for the two good ones.
Right. I don't remember the names of it, but okay. There's probably only like two or three restaurants in that. It's literally just a street.
Right.
So, and it's a really cute little town. They actually filmed Return to Mayberry there, I think in the 80s or 90s.
Oh, it's funny. Okay.
And Andy Griffith Show. So it kind of has that feel. And then there's lots of wineries all over Santa Ynez. It's kind of a newer wine country area. It was all kind of ranches and stuff when I grew up, but it's now almost all wineries. And what I like to do is I like to take the road between Los Olivos and Solvang.
Mm-hmm.
And those are just a lot of little wineries that you can stop in and go wine tasting. There's another little site on that road, and it's an actual lavender farm.
Oh, interesting.
So if you hit it at the right time, and I don't know when the right time is. I think it's in the spring, or it might be twice a year. I'm not sure, but you can see just fields and fields of lavenders, and you can go into there. They have a little tiny store and buy different lavender products. So yeah, that's a small little place that not a lot of people know about. I also, kind of the big winery I like to go to, and that's actually more in Santa Ynez opposed to Los Olivos, is Fess Parker has a winery.
Okay. And a lot of people are too young to have any idea who you're talking about.
Right. I'm too young too, but okay. because he's from Santa Barbara. He played, Davy Crockett in the 50s?
I think that sounds right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And anyways, he's very big in Santa Barbara. There, he has a hotel and a winery.
Davy Crockett and Daniel Boone. Sorry, I had to look that up.
Oh, okay. And I think he's still alive, but I'm not sure. Yeah, so he has a big hotel in Santa Barbara.
He died in 2010.
Oh, okay. There you go. Anyways, there's a hotel that he started, pretty nice, fancy hotel in Santa Barbara, and then he has this big winery, and it's a good place to go wine tasting. There's a lot to do there, and it's kind of, you get the wine glass with him, and it has a little coonskin hat from getting that type of stuff. That's kind of his label. So, but I like the smaller ones, and that's on the road between Los Olivos and Solvang. And then on that road, also, you can kind of go by the Chumash Indian Casino, if that's your thing.
Okay.
I think I've been there one time, but it's quite large now. But yeah, and then Solvang, and Solvang was a Danish settlement. I think in the 20s people moved there.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to get out of the Midwest cold. So they settled in this little town in the mountains above Santa Barbara. So it really has this Danish feel. There's lots of windmills, and the buildings kind of look like what it looks like in Denmark.
Although we'd have to say it's pretty touristy when we say windmills. It's not working windmills or things like that.
No.
And
no.
I say that as someone who is related to much of Solvang. So I literally have cousins or second cousins and such in Solvang, which is why I mentioned that I had been down there.
Sure.
Used to be related to the postmaster and things like that. So it is a touristy town.
Right. As I say, it's fake Danish.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it doesn't look like what Denmark looks like from my travels, but it looks like what we think Denmark looks like. Americans think of Denmark. So anyways, there's a lot of kind of boutique shops, a lot of wine tasting rooms, and there is a mission there.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, you can get kind of the Danish food and pastries.
I was going to say, if you hadn't gotten to the pastries, you'd sort of miss the whole reason to go to Solvang.
Right, yeah. So it's a fun place to go. I used to go up there a lot as a child, and I still enjoy going up there as an adult. So it's a good place to visit.
Also in the, and I've done this once, but although it's been a number of years ago, I think they still do the Solvang Festival Theater in the summertime.
Correct.
Which they've been doing, I understand, here from Mr. Google tells me, since 1974. But a nice thing to do, add on to a summer itinerary, is a play out basically in an old Elizabethan-style theater.
Right, yes. The other town that's kind of up there is called Buellton, and that's not very touristy. It's right off of Highway 101.
With one exception. which is P-Soup Anderson's, which
I was going to mention that.
Which you see advertised for hundreds of miles.
Yes. Yes, I was going to mention that. It's the actual town is not tourist.
No, right, exactly. It's,
there are quite a few wineries in Buellton, and those are the smaller ones. A lot of vineyards. And then, yes, there's the Anderson Pea Soup, which was a childhood favorite. So if you haven't been to Pea Soup, there's a couple in California, and they're advertised on billboards on all the freeways for hours and hours. It says 200 miles until you get to this place. And it's in a Danish style. There's a lot of shops and that type of stuff. And it's just kind of diner food, but they do have good pea soup if you
it
like
it. It is good pea soup. I grant you that. I would skip the wine tasting room in Pea Soup Anderson's and go to one of the other ones, but absolutely have the pea soup.
Yes, and you can buy the cans of pea soup, and I usually actually buy a box and throw it in my suitcase and take it home because I really like that pea soup. But yeah, if you have kids, that's a really good place to take the kids, especially to eat, because they can kind of be loud, because that's kind of the environment. Then the restaurant that I would recommend in Buellton is called The Hitching Post.
Okay.
And that was also in the movie Sideways, but it's a kind of a steak, kind of a meat type of place. Mm-hmm. And they have their own winery, and it's probably the best wine around, in my opinion.
And we say winery and wines. What particular are there particular types of wines that you recommend in the San Ynez Valley?
Yeah, I think that now I'm not a wine expert.
Okay.
But I think that Pinot is kind of the big wine up there. You put it in front of me and I usually like it, but the Hitching Post wine, something special about it, and it's quite good, and it's a more expensive restaurant, but it's a really good restaurant to go to.
Okay.
So I think that's about it for up in San Ynez.
One thing that we should say in terms of Sideways, just because we've mentioned that movie a couple times, it's been now, at least 10 years since that came out. I'm seeing an article about 10 years ago, and I think that article was written, it was released in 2004. Apparently, it is popular overseas as well, like in Korea, for some particular reason.
Huh.
And so there are sometimes that will attract tourists to the region.
Sure. And I'll be honest, I didn't like that movie. It was kind of cool to see all those sights that
I understand what you're saying.
But I did not enjoy the movie at all, and I wouldn't necessarily recommend someone seeing the movie. So you can, if you could go up the mountain to get to this area, then I would drive back on Highway 101, which is the main freeway, and you'll drive along the coast and by a couple state parks and that type of stuff. State beaches.
One warning you would give about San Ynez, Santa Barbara, that area.
I didn't really talk about the beaches, but I think that the big warning is about tar.
Okay. If you hadn't said it, I would have.
Yes. It is not because of an oil spill or anything like that, but on Santa Barbara beaches, there is quite a bit of tar. And it's a natural seepage from the bottom of the ocean that's off the coast of Santa Barbara. And it's just kind of, it gets on your feet. And so if you get on your feet, you have to either use baby oil or olive oil and kind of rub it.
Or lighter fluid, but not lit.
That. I would recommend the best thing that you should do is probably just go to a drugstore like a CVS and buy a pair of flip-flops and use those to walk along the beach.
Well, and I know at Goleta Beach, which is out there on the way to, if we take the 101 up to the San Ynez Valley, there was a little concession there that actually sold basically wipes that had the right amount of things on them so you could just wipe the tar off your feet.
Yeah, definitely, it's easy to get off, but you don't wear like your really nice shoes out if you're going to walk on the beach.
Right. And or it's worse sometimes than others, but it is something you need to know. Yeah.
Right.
And then occasionally the hills do catch fire, but that's relatively rare that they threaten the city. But we have had that in the last 7 years a couple times.
Yeah, it's my grandmother's house burnt down 20 years ago. So yeah, I've experienced it.
But that's also because we're talking about a place that won't get rain in the summer. So if you are planning summer plans for Santa Barbara, you could pretty much count on good to great weather.
Correct. and even when it is the rainy time, I think the biggest rain time is March, still doesn't get a whole lot of rain.
No, we're talking about a dry area. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the best day you've spent in Santa Barbara? What did you do?
Well, I would say that the best, my favorite place is actually is called Henry's Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of in the middle of Santa Barbara. It's not a touristy beach. It's kind of where the locals go to. And so I wouldn't recommend, if you're wanting to go sit at the beach, that you would sit at one of the downtown beaches, but find a different one in Henry's Beach. It's also called Arroyo Burro. That's the official name, but nobody calls it that. Anyways, it's a really nice beach, and I just really enjoy hanging out, sitting on that beach. And there's you can just look out, and you'll see dolphins swimming by. It's quite often that you'll see dolphins right out in front of you on that beach. And then I also like to go to this restaurant that's right at Henry's Beach, and you sit outside, and it's just amazing view of the ocean and the dolphins, and it's a good place to get breakfast.
Excellent. Oh, do you remember the name of the restaurant?
Santa Barbara Boathouse.
Okay.
They just have this amazing outdoor area that is protected from the wind. They have glass. And I like to go there for breakfast. The views are amazing. And
I think I have had breakfast at the Boathouse.
Yeah. And then the big difference between going to that beach or even Goleta Beach, which is the beach out by the airport in UC Santa Barbara,
mm-hmm.
is that the parking is free there. Whereas you can end up spending quite a bit of money to park downtown.
One thing we haven't said is we're talking about an area that is often used as a weekend getaway from Los Angeles, because we're really not that far away. You're, what, an hour from?
An hour, hour and a half, depending on.
Yeah, depending on which part of Los Angeles you're talking about.
And traffic.
And traffic, yeah, well, there is that.
Yes.
What's going to surprise me when I come to Santa Barbara?
I think the mountains are pretty surprising to when people come. You think you're going to Santa Barbara and you're going to see the beach and that type of thing. But the mountains are right there and there, as mm-hmm. I said, quite large. Tallest one, I think, is about 4,000 feet.
Well, even just as you drive to Santa Barbara from Los Angeles, you're driving sort of between Ventura and Santa Barbara. It's the beach, the road, and the mountains.
Right.
And that's all there is.
Yep. So. Yep, that's definitely, if there's a mudslide or something like that, you can't get to Los Angeles. So, yeah.
Right. You're standing in the prettiest spot in the whole Santa Barbara area. Where are you standing and what are you looking at?
Well, kind of above the harbor, there's a park. It's called Shoreline Park.
Mm-hmm.
If you look back towards downtown, the view is just unbelievable. It's you can see the harbor and the pier and the ocean, and then also Santa Barbara has the Channel Islands,
mm-hmm. right?
And so you can see the islands and the mountains just all in one look. So
and the oil platforms.
The oil platforms.
That's
going to
surprise some people because we haven't mentioned that yet.
Yes,
just offshore there between you and the Channel Islands.
Yeah, so that's, I think, it's Shoreline Park, kind of towards the end of it, towards downtown Santa Barbara. Just the view there is pretty amazing.
Excellent. Here's a question I don't usually ask. Best state park that only locals go to in the area?
I would say some of the hikes in the mountains a lot of people don't go to. Rattlesnake Canyon Trail is a really amazing trail if you like to hike up in the mountains. It is not named Rattlesnake Trail because of the snakes, but because of the whininess of the trail.
I'm not sure
that
was good marketing, but that might be why only locals go there.
Yeah, so there's quite a few. There's a website, it's called Santa Barbara Hikes, and they
Excellent.
Have information all about the different trails. So I think a lot of locals will go up into the mountains and hike, and you know, you get views back of the oceans. But I think that just going to different beaches that are not the downtown beaches is what the locals do. I don't know anyone who goes and sits down, hangs out at East Beach all day, but they certainly hang out at one of the other beaches.
Well, and one of the reasons I asked about the parks is that because of the way the terrain is in this part of California, and really in most of California, we have these wonderful little unknown regional and state parks and some wonderful hikes. And I don't think a lot of tourists know to take advantage of them. And so that was a great resource.
Yeah.
Before we get to our last three questions, what else should we know before we go to Santa Barbara?
I think that a couple things is that if you like to go to movies, I recommend seeing a movie at the Arlington Theater. Mm-hmm. It's a huge old style movie house. They had, I think that Gone with the Wind had one of its premieres there.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it's,
Art Deco?
Yes. Well, no, you walk inside and they have kind of like a Spanish sod on the sides and then, stars on the ceiling. So it makes you feel like you're outside. But it is a gigantic theater, and there's a pipe organ that comes up, I think, on the weekends before movies and that type of stuff. So if there's a movie there, I recommend going and seeing a movie there if you like to go to movies. And then a little hidden place that I really like to go to is called the Santa Barbara Orchid Estate. And this is way out in Goleta. It's actually pretty easy to get to, but Santa Barbara happens to have the perfect climate for growing orchids. And you go out there, and it's just every type of orchid, and it's all outside, and they have tons and tons and tons of greenhouses. And you just kind of drive up. Looks like you're driving up to a farm or someone's company, and you just can walk all around and look at the different orchids. And there's people who work there who just will talk to you all day about their orchids, and you can buy some. They'll pack it up to go on a plane if you want, and it's very reasonably priced. But yeah, it's called the Santa Barbara Orchid Estate, and that's one of my favorite places. I try to get there whenever I'm visiting.
I had never heard of it, and I've driven through Santa Barbara many, many times.
Yeah, it's not advertised, but Santa Barbara is a big orchid producer.
My son lives in Southern California, and when we go see him, we often will drive down the middle of the state when we're driving down, because we're trying to get there, and it's usually night by that time anyway. But when we have extra time, we'll do the drive along the coast through Santa Barbara as a sort of a reward to ourselves on the way back. It takes just a little longer, but it's a lot prettier. So,
oh, definitely, definitely.
What's the best day of the year, best festival or best time of year to be in Santa Barbara?
Well, the biggest festival in Santa Barbara actually just happened I think it's the first weekend of August, and it's called Fiesta. And it's celebrating the old Spanish days. Hmm. The whole town kind of shuts down for it. There's parades. There's a lot of shows where they do the flamingo dancing and the music. And then there's a couple places that have giant, they call them the mercados. But basically you go and you can get different types of Mexican or Spanish food and listen to music and that type of stuff.
And I'm going to assume you meant flamenco dancing, unless they do an entirely different type of dancing in Santa Barbara. Flamenco dancing has an interesting mental picture there, but okay.
Yeah, kind of the other big thing is they sell these little eggs, and the eggs are filled with confetti, and so you get someone will walk up and smash the egg on your head, confetti everywhere. So that's a big thing for some reason. It's part of Fiesta, but yeah, of course the prices are quite a bit more expensive it is kind of the big Fiesta, which means party. Part of the year in Santa Barbara.
Excellent. Well, and I know the area from I thought I was dating, but that's a whole nother story. a girl in high school whose family would rent one of the beach houses along Carpinteria. And so that's the other thing I would look into is rentals if you're there, or Airbnb if you're there, because especially if you're there in a high season, there are a limited number of hotels there.
Right. And in fact, I would look at Airbnb for staying no matter what time of year, because it is quite expensive to stay in Santa Barbara.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Last three questions. One thing that makes you laugh and say only in Santa Barbara.
You go out and you see someone, it's maybe like 60, 65 degrees, and you see someone wearing a down coat and winter boots and shorts.
Okay.
Santa Barbara, they are used to perfect weather, and when it's not perfect, they think it's the dead of winter.
All right. When my family first moved out from Ohio to the central coast of California, my parents tell me that we were the ones who were dressed like that, because when it would be on those cold, foggy days, the chill would just go through you.
Sure.
And now, of course, I think of that as a summer day, so
yeah.
I'm quite the opposite, having grown up in that.
Right.
Finish this thought. You really know you're in Santa Barbara when what?
You're looking out, and in one sight, you can see the mountains and the ocean.
Excellent. And if you had to summarize Santa Barbara in just three words, What three words would you use?
Casual. Santa Barbara is very casual. You don't really have to dress up ever. Beautiful. And historic.
Excellent. And Heather, where can, and our guest again has been Heather Simon, and where can people read more about your travels?
Facebook on Well Planned Travel. I have a website. It's called wellplannedtravel.net. And then I'm on Twitter. It's Well Plan Travel, because Well Planned, it was
too darn long.
Too long. So Well Planned Travel. Yeah.
Excellent. And what's the best article you've written on wellplannedtravel.net recently?
I have gotten a lot of traction. I just wrote one on taking the Hurtigruten.
Oh, which is excellent. Up the Norwegian coast.
Right.
There's
I did that.
Episode of The Amateur Traveler on cruising on Hurtigruten.
I heard that. I think I might even listen to it before I went.
Excellent. And I should say, the thing I was trying to remember earlier when I was asking you type of wine, I remembered that in the movie Sideways, which we keep referring to here, the character that was the main character, Paul Giamatti's character, was a fan of Pinot and really refused to drink Merlot completely. So I was expecting that Pinot would be the wine that you would mention, but I couldn't remember Merlot in that. I couldn't remember what it was he hated, so I had to look that up. Excellent. Well, Heather, thanks so much for coming on The Amateur Traveler and sharing with us your love of Santa Barbara and the region.
All right. Well, thank you for having me.
In News of the Community, I heard from the Sioux family in response to the episode we did on Kyrgyzstan. We are a family of five that are currently backpacking along the Silk Road for a year. Currently, we are at Kyrgyzstan, so it was extra special to hear this podcast while traveling here. While in Bishkek, we came upon a newly started walking tour twice a week called the Bishkek Walks. You can find it on Facebook, which tells the history of the people building events in Bishkek for the past 2,000 years. It was very informative, and we got to see photos in the past and compare them to the present as we walked around downtown Bishkek. We also got to hear about the recent three revolutions, 1991, 2002, and 2010, and get a sense of what lies in the future for people here. The podcast was right on, and we had much laughs as we listened to the insightful comments from Eric. Thanks so much for the comment. Always great to hear feedback on the shows. With that, we're going to end this episode of The Amateur Traveler. Again, if you're interested in an amateur traveler trip, we're trying to narrow down where to go. Go to amateurtraveler.com/trips to join the private Facebook community for that. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. You can also follow me on Twitter, Instagram, or Pinterest as Chris2X. And as always, thanks so much for listening. Amateur Traveler, episode 481. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about Spanish Mitten. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about Spanish Mittens.